Pericles and Thucydides knew each other anyway, and I find it impossible to believe that they didn't talk about this sort of thing. So if war was inevitable, the best time for it to happen was when one state had the resources to defeat the other. And I'll talk about Athenian versus Spartan resources in our next lecture. But it was imperative that Athens not be seen as breaking that 30 years peace. And so no moves could be made directly against the Spartans. However, against their allies, that was a different matter. Seen in this light, Pericles' hidden agenda, an offshoot of his imperialistic policies that he's had since the 460s, that agenda now comes to light. Corcyra had a substantial navy. Pericles couldn't allow it to fall into Peloponnesian hands. The alliance with Corcyra was defensive only, true, but it would mean that the Corcyrian navy would join that of the Delian League, and it would bring the city into direct conflict with Sparta's chief ally, Corinth. The same is true of the move against Potidaea. This goading of Corinth did the trick, for the Corinthians began to protest to the Spartans that they needed to do something about these wretched Athenians. And then we've got the Megarian Decree. The economic sanctions are probably a pretext for the real reason. Megara had been a member of the Delian League, but it had switched loyalties and joined the Peloponnesian. Given Megara's strategic importance, Pericles' decree may have aimed to coerce Megara back into the Athenian alliance before war broke out. Now, there's no question that Pericles knew what effect the Megarian decree would have, because Thucydides says that it led directly to war. And Aristophanes, in his comedy The Acarnanians, which was performed in 425 BC, blames the Megarian decree specifically for causing the war. In this play, the hero Dicaeopolis, who lives in a ravaged town north of Athens, makes his own separate peace with Sparta. He is disgusted and he's disillusioned by Athenian leadership, and he blames the Megarian decree and therefore Pericles for bringing the war on. Pericles then neatly exploited major Spartan allies to force Sparta into a corner, where the only recourse was to support its allies or lose them. And by supporting its allies, that meant declaring war on Athens. The Athenians then become the victims. They enter a war that was apparently not of their own making, and they enter this war to defend their way of life. We can see much of this line in the scare tactic and patriotic rhetoric of Pericles' war speech, as I call it, to the Athenian assembly. This speech that persuaded the people to reject Sparta's ultimatum over Megara. It's that speech that paints the Spartans as enemies of democracy, and it urges the people to fight for their way of life. But now we have hostilities underway, and it's time to discuss the war itself. Now, there's a lot that goes on during this war. From 431 to 404, that's a long stretch of time. And I can't look at every single thing in detail because this war is but part of our course, albeit a very important part. And our course continues until 323 BC. So if it's okay with you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to discuss what for me are the more important events in the war and the more important aspects of it as they relate to our course and the themes in it. And as we track through this war, we'll see that the points I made at the end of lecture 25, especially about the role that the demagogues played in the war, and the role of the people in the assembly, will, in my opinion at least, turn out to be true. Whether you'll agree with me is another matter, but I've said before that I'm at my happiest when people are disagreeing with me. So have a field day. I will see you in the next lecture. Thank you very much.